A recent federal report shows a need for greater access to high-quality preschool for Oregon children, and California children, too. Both states have large percentages of four-year-olds not enrolled in a publicly funded preschool. The report shows the numbers in all 50 states and the District of Columbia. The report is called A Matter of Equity, Preschool in America. Let's explore what the report found and what it means and could lead to. From the Federal Department of Education, we have Libby Doggett, who's the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy and Early Learning on the line. Libby, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you, Jeffrey. I'm delighted to be on today.
So what prompted the report and what does it examine?
Well, I think we are looking at the research. The research is very clear that preschool for 3 and 4 year olds really makes a difference in terms of their long-term success in school and in life. Based on that, we're looking at the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which has primarily been about kindergarten through 12th grade. And we think, because the research is so compelling and states have been moving forward, that we need to re-examine the Elementary and Secondary Education Act and make it a preschool through 14th grade act, so that we can really get kids the skills they need to succeed in this complicated life.
So what are the act covers just K through 12 at this point?
Right now, the act is primarily K through 12. It mentions early childhood, and some of the money can go for that, but we'd like a much stronger emphasis there.
So what are some of the differences? Let's get into what additional benefits a child gains when they're in, and we can get to what high-quality preschool means in a moment, but when they're in a high-quality preschool by age 4, what does that tend to do for them as they move through their school years?
I hope you have lots of listeners who have 3 and 4 year olds and little ones that they're caring for, but it really does make a difference. I have grandchildren myself, and we see such a difference in how they do. The research is pretty clear. It's decades long, and it shows that children who received a high quality, and high quality is critical. It can't be low quality. It has to be a high quality early learning environment. Do better not only in school and in their tests, but most importantly in their persistence and in their motivation and in their ability to get along with others. They're more likely to graduate from high school, more likely to go on to college, less likely to get involved with the law. And there's even some research now that shows they have better health benefits when they're in their 30s and 40s.
All right, so when we talk about high quality, what does that mean?
Well, it means a teacher that has the skills and knows how young children learn. We're not talking about paper and pencil learning. We don't want to see kids doing worksheets. We want to see them doing lots of hands-on projects where they get involved in dramatic play and they go on field trips and they play with blocks and sand and paint and water and mud and really get that kind of a hands-on experience that provides them a strong foundation that they can then bring to the learning. We want to see them reading lots of books with teachers, doing lots of music and art, and learning, expanding their vocabulary, but in a really fun, play-based environment. In fact, if you walked into a classroom, you might just say, hey, these kids are just playing, and if it's really well run, you'll see they are playing, but if you look beyond that, you'll see that the play has a lot of intentionality behind it, that there's things that the teacher is trying to make sure that child gets. So strong teacher, strong curriculum. We want small group sizes. Kids don't learn well when there's too big a group. They need small sizes. Those are primarily things. We want comprehensive services. And I think really most importantly, we want parents actively engaged in what's going on.
The report that we're talking about is called A Matter of Equity, Preschool in America. Libby Doggett is our guest. She's the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy and Early Learning at the Federal Department of Education. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Now, the measurement on the major chart is of four-year-olds in publicly funded preschool. Does this imply that if it's not publicly funded, it's not high quality?
No, it doesn't. It just means that parents are having to pay a lot out of their pockets. These are parents who are in their early earning years. They haven't had a chance to save for preschool. They all of a sudden might be faced with $1,000 a month in what it costs to keep the child in a high-quality program, and they haven't had a chance to save for it. So you know, that is an opportunity for us to really provide these families with something that will benefit not just them and their child, but us as a society as well.
Now, there are major variations from region to region, state to state. What's the overall landscape you found?
Well, the landscape is pretty sad. We've made some good progress in the last year, but we still only have six out of 10 four-year-olds who aren't enrolled in publicly funded preschool programs. We know that this is great intervention. We know this benefits children, and yet we haven't put the dollars forward to put these programs in place. And particularly, I think, in California and in Oregon, we only have there's 71% of your children in California who don't have access, and 77% in Oregon. I think we can do better than that for our kids.
Well, and I'm curious, too, about there's a couple of states, three of them actually altogether, with very high participation in publicly funded preschool. So the percentages of kids who don't have access is 13, 14, 15% in West Virginia, Oklahoma, Florida. Those are really good figures. What is going on differently in those states that makes their access to publicly funded preschool so high?
It's been that those states have made a commitment to their youngest kids. They've looked at the research, and their policy leaders have said, you know, we don't have a lot of money, but if we're going to put our money where we'll really make a difference, let's put it into our youngest kids because that will have a big payoff. So you name those states, and they're not the states you would think, right? You wouldn't think that West Virginia, Oklahoma, Florida would be leading the pack, but they are.
Well, which also begs the question, and there's certainly a perception in much of the country that the folks in Washington, D.C. aren't really aware of what goes on in the rest of the country. And, for example, in the District of Columbia, the total percentage of four-year-olds not enrolled in a publicly funded program is zero.
That's right. A few years ago, the mayor in D.C. decided that this would be his legacy issue, that he really wanted to turn the D.C. schools around, and he started with 3- and 4-year-olds. So in D.C., families have an amazing number of choices of what kinds of programs. There are dual language programs, there are immersion programs, there are Montessori programs, there are Reggio Emilio programs, and the families can choose the kind of program, and then they're in every single neighborhood.
We're talking again with Libby Doggett, the Deputy Assistant Secretary at the federal level for Policy and Early Learning. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about high-quality preschool for children around the region, around the country. 800-838-3760, the phone number here. You can send emails as well to jx@jeffnet.org. So is the report then meant to spur action by Congress, action by state legislatures, both of those?
I think actually both. You hit it on the head. What we found is it's synergistic, that the more the states are doing, the more they're getting the attention of Congress. The president came out 2.5 years ago in his State of the Union calling a lot of states.
Libby, if you can move closer to a window or something, we're losing your signal. I think it has a cell phone or on here, so it kind of got bogged down there. If you can try again.
States are forcing the federal government to look at doing more, and the federal government is doing more and getting states to become involved as well. And the other exciting thing is you see cities becoming involved because mayors have realized that they have something to gain by having strong schools.
So where do things stand, though, with trying to move anything through Congress at this point? I know that President Obama did look back and see that I think the first time he mentioned high-quality preschool was in the 2013 State of the Union address, and it doesn't seem like much has happened on this front since that time.
Well, you're well informed. We are just delighted that we've had some success. They're small steps, so they're not what we needed, but we have $1 billion that have been spent actually helping build the quality system that we know is so important, because lots of children are in child care. Child care can be a good learning environment, but it's got to be high quality. We've improved Head Start significantly, and then we've added $250 million in preschool development grants, which is going to serve 33,000 children in over 200 communities this coming school year. So we've made some good, strong steps. We need to do a lot more.
Again, the report is called A Matter of Equity, Preschool in America, and it's discussed in terms of access to high-quality or publicly funded preschool. I wonder if there's a little wiggle room here, though, because if we're talking about the major figure that gets looked at is the total percentage of four-year-olds not enrolled in a publicly funded program. And again, that figure is 77% in Oregon and 71% in California, which seem very high. But could this also be a case of where one or both parents have decided, you know what, the kids need to stay at home with us because we can teach them a whole lot better up until they start kindergarten?
Well, I think if parents can afford to stay at home, it's a wonderful, wonderful option, and certainly kids can learn a lot. Even you'll find, though, if you look at the research, that even families where one or both parents are staying at home, they enroll their children in preschool. Maybe it's only a part-day program because they feel like there's such a benefit the children can get from going to a more structured program where they play with other children. They learn what being in school is about. They learn to follow a teacher's instructions. And they have a whole lot of other experiences that families at home can't provide in terms of larger learning groups and lots of toys and games.
Libby Doggett, do we have the longitudinal studies that show the effects of kids who missed out on preschool and they just got landed in kindergarten without any particular preparation of the kind of preschool we're talking about here, and what over the course of their time in school they do relative to the other students?
Well, we've looked more at the reverse, which is how do children who have had a high-quality program do as compared to those who don't. So I think you can make the connection that children who haven't had a high-quality program, particularly at-risk families, that those children do struggle. If you look at the number of children that enter kindergarten ready, and that means they've probably had a really good preschool experience, that number is very similar to the children that the ones that aren't ready in kindergarten is similar to the number that don't do well on the third grade reading test, and that's very similar to the number of children who don't finish high school. So we don't do as good a job catching kids up as we should. It'd be so much easier if we get everybody off to a good start.
You know, I didn't ask what school year, but I just realized it's on the top of the chart. This is the 2012-2013 school year that was monitored for the purposes of this this report. Is that right?
Exactly. Yes, we don't have the data from last year yet, but it will soon be out. And it will be a little bit better.
I was going to ask you what you thought that the trend line might be there. Now, were there any significant states that made significant moves that might have changed their numbers greatly?
I think California did a really good job last year of moving the needle on this. The biggest movement came in New York City, or New York State, where the governor and the mayor of New York actually had a fight about who could pay for preschool in that state. And the governor won and put up the money, and Mayor de Blasio in New York City has really overseen probably the largest increase of preschool in any one year in the history of the United States, certainly.
Is there a certain level of resistance, coming back to the question about parents staying home with the kids, which is wonderful, but there's socialization and other aspects that do come from being around other children. Is there some pushback about, oh boy, here comes the federal government trying to take control of our kids at age four, that sort of response?
I don't think so. I think people see this as the federal government is trying to supplement what states and local communities are doing. We don't want to tell them what to do. We do want to make sure that the settings are high quality. But a lot of people involved in are setting these systems up. They're doing it in a wonderful way, and so they're happy to have the state funds. I know my boss, Arnie Duncan, frequently tells the story about when we announced the preschool development grants, one of the states that didn't win was Mississippi. And the governor of Mississippi has called a number of times saying, you know, how can you help us? Because we really want to do more with our youngest kids. And we can't do it all here in Mississippi. We need some federal support to do it.
The federal report is called A Matter of Equity, Preschool in America. It came out of the Department of Education, where Libby Doggett is a Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy and Early Learning. Thank you so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for being interested in this and for what you do for the people in your catchment area.
All right. Thank you so much for taking part again.